We have Milwaukee Acting Police Chief Michael Brunson on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. He was sworn in just over a month ago after the city's fire and police commission demoted Alfonso Morales from chief back to captain. Morales retired days later. Brunson is a 25-year veteran of the department. He oversaw patrol operations as assistant chief. 2 years ago, as an inspector, he cited improving police legitimacy as the top challenge facing Milwaukee's police force. And recently, he's had to explain the department's use of tear gas and rubber bullets during protests of police brutality. What changes do you want to see to the Milwaukee Police Department? What do you want to ask the acting chief? It's 800-642-1234 to join the conversation. Chief Brunson, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Yes, thank you. Glad to be here.
So with former Chief Morales' demotion and departure and your department's very public clashes with the police oversight agency and the continued protests of police brutality sweeping our nation, how do you approach your new job?
Well, I think one of the things that you have to do whenever you assume a new position is obviously be mindful of what's going on locally and, of course, nationally. And obviously, being a part of the agency for 25 years, I've seen that. I've seen the dynamics of today as it relates to our city and nationally. And obviously, these are challenging times right now as it relates to police-community relations. And so that dovetails into one of the biggest struggles that we have right now, and that's the violent crime problem that we've seen in our city this year. And so how do you address violent crime? You have to do it collectively with the community. And so if there is a rift, if there is a issue with the relationships between the police department, law enforcement, the Milwaukee Police Department more specifically, and the community, then that hinders that greatly. So that's one of the biggest challenges that we face as a city, as an agency. And so my job is to work as fervently as possible in order to repair those relationships, in order to make sure that we are collaborating as much as possible to address the violent crime issues that we see in our city.
You can't change history. You can't rewrite it. The history of police aggression in your department, the history of racial profiling, but you can make changes and crack down on behavior before another civilian is killed in your city tomorrow, next day. What are you doing now to change how your officers police the city?
Well, one of the things that we are doing as an agency and have done is increasing transparency, and that started many years ago, almost 5 years now, that we've had body-worn cameras. And that contributes to our ability to look at officers who may be having issues, officers who may be engaging in the type of behaviors that we don't want to see. And so we're able to address that now. In addition to that, you look at national campaigns, for example, the 8 Can't Wait campaign, which is a campaign that is nationwide, and it deals with use of force policies for police agencies. And if you take a look at the 8 Can't Wait tenets, then you'll see, and there was a story that was done on this comparing our standard operating procedures to the 8 Can't Wait points. And so if you looked at that, basically 6 of those at least were already part of policies that we had in place. And September 24th will be a meeting with our FPC, the Policies and Standards meeting, where we'll be looking at the other 2 points. So all 8 of those 8 Can't Wait points, if you look at it, our standard operating procedures will have the substance of those things. In addition to that, we do have the Collins Agreement, also known as the ACLU settlement. Within that, there are specific criteria and benchmarks that we have to reach as it relates to stops, as it relates to traffic stops, field interviews and the documentation of that. There's audits that are done. So there's some very stringent requirements, and we will have that for the next 3 years. It's been in effect for 2 years now already. So there's three more years that we will be a part of that agreement. We do have a consultant that does those audits and those reviews. So if you look at those changes that are occurring through our FPC already, through the Collins Agreement, through the body-worn cameras, which we've had for a number of years, our agency is changing.
We're talking with Michael Brunson, the acting police chief for the Milwaukee Police Department. You can join in. What changes do you want to see to the force and police departments across the state? What are your thoughts on policing in your community, policing in America? We're at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Troy now in Muskego. Hi, Troy.
Hello. I just was asking, I'm going to ask a question. I don't know why the chief doesn't do like the chief in Green Bay did, which is actually march with the peaceful protesters and show in solidarity, especially after the Floyd murder. I don't think that's political at all. I think, you know, I own a security company. I have my security guards, especially because we deal with predominantly minorities, wear Black Lives Matter mask to show solidarity. I don't think Black Lives Matter is a political thing. And even if you don't go the direction of Black Lives Matter, at the very least, march with why people are protesting and show that you're part of those communities and you stand with them. That's all.
Chief Brunson.
Yes. Well, one of the things for me, and it's about dialogue. It's about talking. And I've made no secret that I would talk with, meet with protesters. I've done that numerous times because it's about the information exchange. It's about listening. And it's about seeing where we can come to agreements. I do not deny the fact that there have been controversial shootings across our nation, troublesome shootings across our nation that, of course, in the age of digital technology is everywhere, is ubiquitous. And so I'll be the first to say that I do see the point of many of the protesters, obviously, from what we've seen. And as law enforcement, we have to be honest about the issues that we see. And so that's why I am and our department is committed to changing, to looking at best practices, to making those necessary changes so that we can be a better agency. I just think that that goes with professionalism, that you have to do that as a professional agency. You have to listen to the community.
And the community wants officers to reach out and show their humanity.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that we try to do that. We try to show our humanity. You know, a lot of times when we address protesters, sometimes in that particular moment, and I've seen this a number of times, it can be quite challenging because of the level of anger that we do confront. I've seen protesters scream racial epithets at officers for hours as they stand online. And so at that moment in time, it is a challenge to address someone, to be able to talk to them on a one-to-one level, to look at that humanity in that moment that is often charged.
We have Milwaukee's new acting chief of the Milwaukee Police Department, Michael Brunson, on the line. How is policing in your community? How have relations changed? Are they improving? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Chief Brunson here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have the Milwaukee Police Department's new acting police chief, Michael Brunson, on the line. The Fire and Police Commission announced last week that a permanent chief will be selected by early December. The commission chair told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that the top five candidates will be interviewed publicly multiple times, the application deadline Friday. This change at the top is set against the backdrop of a summer of protests against police brutality, racism, the police shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha. Chief Brunson, do you see yourself as in an interim role here, or do you plan to apply to be permanent chief?
That's something that right now I'm not going to discuss. I'm committed to doing the best job that I can for this agency moving forward, but that's not something that I'll discuss right now.
Sure. Let's take a call. Rosa is joining us from Waterford. Hi, Rosa.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling. I noticed that most of these escalations occur because the person that was pulled over did not follow simple common sense protocol. When you get pulled over by a police officer, you're supposed to keep your hands on your wheels and don't move. When a police officer approaches the window, that's when he asks for your driver's license. Then you reach into your purse to grab your license. I learned that years ago. I don't know if there could be some kind of community outreach, maybe on the news, remind people, maybe during when kids take driving lessons. Maybe that's part of the curriculum.
Chief Brunson.
Yes. So we do have those informational sessions. A lot of times our captains will have crime and safety meetings each month at every district. We have 7 police districts here in the city. And so during those meetings, they'll talk about things like that. And we had a partnership with MPS many years ago in which some of our officers that work in schools would go and they would do informational sessions where they would talk about the type of things that the caller is referring to.
Back in June, the Common Council canceled bids for more tactical chemical equipment, namely tear gas. Your department asked city leaders to reconsider purchasing more tools for deploying chemical irritants. What is your stock of tear gas now? Are you restocking it and buying more?
That's not something that I'm going to discuss right now. During that period of time, that was when we were preparing for the DNC. And one of the things that we have to do as an agency is prepare for the worst. So obviously, we always hope for the best, but we would be derelict if we didn't prepare for the worst. We've seen how things that start as protests can sometimes in some places, and we've seen this obviously across our country, can get out of control. And so we have to be prepared to address it. And so that is why we did order.
Let me ask it this way then. What is your philosophy toward using tear gas and rubber bullets on the street against protesters?
Well, I've talked about this extensively. I've done a number of panels and hearings where I talked about the specifics. We have a SOP that spells out very, very specifically when we use chemical irritants. And so it was stated many times that we use chemical irritants on peaceful protesters. So that is totally against our policy. And anyone can do this, too. It's many of our SOPs, some things are
redacted, standard operating procedures.
Yes, standard operating procedures are right online, although there are some things that are redacted. However, as it relates to crowd control and the use of chemical irritants as it relates to crowds, it has to be declared an unlawful assembly. There's multiple warnings given saying that this is declared an unlawful assembly. You must leave this area or be potentially subject to arrest. And even after that, it involves an escalation by the crowd as far as throwing objects, bricks, bottles. When we saw all of those things, fireworks, there were multiple gunshots during the period of time that we had the unrest in our city. And so after all those measures are taken and we give multiple warnings, we give individuals an opportunity to disperse on every occasion before we do use chemical irritants. And we've had many of our personnel that were injured during that period of time to concussions, to one officer being shot, multiple bruising from bricks and bottles, et cetera. And so our officers don't join this department to be injured. We encourage people to protest peacefully. And we had many peaceful protests in our city. Most of the protests, by far, were peaceful. But there were situations in which individuals attempted to hurt officers, attempted to damage property. And so during those incidents, we declared it an unlawful assembly. We gave warnings using the long-range audio device, or LRAD. Multiple warnings were given. And then after the escalation continued with the throwing of objects at officers, then we did utilize chemical irritants.
Let me reintroduce you. Michael Brunson is acting police chief for the Milwaukee Police Department and taking your calls and questions. Let's bring in Ben now in West Salem. Hi, Ben.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I guess just listening to this conversation, I am not about defunding the police. However, I am about greater education for law enforcement. And I was listening to the lady's previous comments, and I'm from rural Wisconsin, and I would say the majority of the people around me believe in the same, what the lady said before. However, I would just state the officers are not, they're not always trained with the actual, they don't understand the law that they're trying to enforce. And I'm not saying quite often, I don't know how often, but it happens enough. And maybe rather than look into educating our youth to, which is important to listen to officers, you know, when they're giving them a lawful command, and I repeat that, lawful command, maybe we look first into more education, a longer education for law enforcement, so that they will better understand the laws correctly that they are trying to enforce, and that this might also help with the protests too. You know, if an officer better understands that this is a constitutional right and my emotions do not come into play, that might help kind of sedate some of this anger. And I would say maybe him forthright answering questions rather than responding.
Well, okay, Ben, I want to pause there. And Chief Brunson, where do you see a need for additional training in police tactics and maybe even specifically de-escalation tactics?
We train in de-escalation tactics. That's part of our use of force policy. It's part of everything that we practice. We believe in dialogue. We believe in obtaining voluntary compliance. That's what we are trying to do when we go to any scene. We try to gain voluntary compliance of the public. And so one of the things that I talked about earlier, our SOP 460 that deals with use of force, although the training was always part of use of force that we did at the academy, now it's going to be specifically listed in our new policy that will be changed on September 24th and discussed during the FPC meeting during that time. So it was always part of our training, but we're just specifically and explicitly listing that as a heading in our use of force policy.
You mentioned Fire and Police Commission, FPC, which is one of the oldest public oversight agencies, police oversight agencies in the country. How do you improve relations with the FPC?
I think it starts with communication and working collaboratively. Obviously, as you said, that they're one of the oldest in the country. They are our oversight body, and so my focus is to work with them as collaboratively as possible.
Is there anything further you would like to say there?
No, I mean, I think that just you start off with communication and you go from there. I mean, I think that the Fire and Police Commission and myself both want the same thing. They want a professional agency And obviously there may be, you know, different thoughts on how to get there, but that's where the conversation and communication comes in.
Chief Brunson, thank you for joining us.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Michael Brunson is acting police chief for the Milwaukee Police Department. He's been acting chief since August. Coming up, it's the director of the Marquette University Law School poll on the new polling results and sentiment on how voters feel heading into the November presidential election. What sticks out to you in the new Marquette poll results? It's 800-642-1234. We'll be back after a news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.